this week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue on in 1 Peter with, like newborn infants, royal priesthood, submission to authorities, leaving you an example, and husbands and wives. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Amen. with oil, my cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy
of his pasture and the sheep of his hand.
A reading from Matthew chapter 9. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. This may be the second most common text used in relation to Call Week. The only one used more is not even a text per se, it's a theme: love your people. We'll find out shortly if we get another of these two sermons later this week. I'm pretty sure we will. After all, the temptation is certainly there for any preacher to turn this text into a recruitment speech. That's probably trebly true for a seminary president, even if he is a lame duck. I'll try to resist that temptation, but there are no guarantees. However, I'm not as certain that I can avoid the love your people theme. And more importantly, I don't think that I should, in light of what this text says. But first, a story. In my own path toward pastoral service, two things stick out. One was in my confirmation class, where my pastors brought home the importance of the proper distinction between law and gospel. And thankfully for them, that always ensured in their preaching that the gospel predominated. That was formational for me, even though I managed to get through confirmation class without ever doing one memory verse. I was perhaps the single worst confirmation student in the history of Emmanuel Congregation in DeKalb, Illinois. But the law-gospel thing stuck. So that's the first element, but there's also a formational story, a story that involves my grandfather, Pastor Alfred Rast. I was about 4 years old, and my grandma and Grandpa Rast came up from Texas to visit us in Ohio. We didn't see them very often, because my grandpa was a busy man. He was the mission executive for the Texas district. But here they were. And I'll be honest, not knowing my grandfather well, he terrified me. He was very quiet, which scared me. But worse, he was a pastor. And that completely intimidated me. But during this visit, things changed. I was out playing with the neighborhood kids, and this is the tail end of the baby boom, so there were a lot of us, and we were playing horse race. And I ran, and I won, and I fell, and I broke my collarbone, and went home crying. Long story short, my grandfather took me to the emergency room. And this terrifying, intimidating man was a pastor and a grandpa. And he prayed with and for me and made sure that I was as comfortable as I could possibly be in difficult circumstances. He broke down every wall that I had placed between him and me. He helped me when I was in distress, with both word and by deed. Why didn't I get that before? Who knows? Probably because we didn't see each other that often. But This event changed everything. Moved by the love of Christ, Grandpa Rass served and cared for others, even me. And I'd like to think that in caring for me, he was simply doing what any Christian does for their neighbor as the Lord's life begins to shape their own life. But he did that for me as a pastor and a grandfather. Formational. And that is the personal context then that guides my reading of this particular text. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and affliction. Familiar enough, right? This is Jesus stuff, after all. And this is how people got to know him, as a teacher and a healer. But the next verse gets us into the person of Jesus in a particularly powerful and pointed way. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. These lost sheep, harassed by others and certainly by their own stupid decisions, and helpless to do anything about any of it, moved Jesus to action, touched Jesus in his inmost being so that he then went to work. And his response was to teach, to proclaim the gospel, and to heal. His servanthood for us was characterized by these things. Now, this may be a bit of a stretch. I know that's never happened in this pulpit before. But I'm only president for 4 more weeks. It sounds like the seminary's mission statement. Teach, reach, care. Okay, I'll leave it there. But the point holds. Jesus, seeing harassed and helpless people, was moved to his inmost being and sought them out, teaching them God's truth, preaching the gospel to them, and healing every disease and affliction. And it was having been moved in his inmost being that pulled these all together into his life of service for us, fulfilling God's law, suffering the penalty for our transgressions, so that through cross and resurrection, he triumphed over the grave for us, as harassed and helpless as we are, so that we might have life in its fullness now and into all eternity. Simply put, Jesus broke down every wall. We're getting close to the ascension of our Lord, and one of the main points of ascension is that Jesus does not leave us or forsake us, that he is with us always to the end of the age. Perhaps he has that in mind as he says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he will, of course, fulfill that prayer this week once more. For when Jesus calls us to service in his name, whatever that service might be, it grows out of his service first for us, his deep compassion driven by love for the harassed and helpless. And this, it seems to me, is why we pray this prayer so regularly. O God, source of all abiding knowledge, through word and spirit you both enlighten the minds and sanctify the lives of those whom you draw to your service. Therefore, look with favor on the seminaries and colleges of the church, blessing those who teach and those who learn, that they may apply themselves with ready diligence to your will and faithfully fulfill their service according to your purpose. Well, guess what? This seems to have turned into a recruitment and a love your people sermon. I suppose that's okay, since it flows from the person and work of our compassionate and empathic Christ. That was his way. That is our way. It is precisely who he was and is, and it is only fitting that those who follow him into service should be shaped by his life. For, alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
In our prayers, we give thanks to God for granting Gideon Flanick, son of seminarian Trevor Flanick, a successful surgery on Friday. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you for hearing our prayers on behalf of your servant Gideon, who has successfully undergone surgery, and for giving this to the surgeon and the medical team special skills to attend to his needs. According to your good pleasure, restore him fully to health and strength, that we may rejoice in your gift of healing. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
The Son and the